Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we appreciate you being with us on this last day of February in the leap year, February 29th. And we've gone through a month in recognition of African American heritage, you know, starting out with Negro History Week, and in my opinion, in studying the life of Carter G. Woodson, he introduced the knowledge of our heritage as African Americans or Bilalians, we would identify ourselves as today, during those times, in the, I believe the 30s, 1930s, 20th century, the historical grounding that he presented, like many of our leaders of the past that were effective during their times. I believe Dr. Carter G. Woodson was an inspired, educator. And he was very much aware of the miseducation of so-called Negroes. He was very much aware of the effects of improper education in affecting us and conditioning us to fall in line in terms of a social dynamic or a social strategy where I'm trying to think of his name now, leader of the group that Dr. King led, Dr. Lowry. I remember how striking his benediction was at the inauguration of President Barack Obama, and how when he, when he gave the benediction, how he, how Dr. Lowry interjected in his benediction presentation the prayer and the hope that we would get past the socialization and conditioning of color consciousness. And he talked about we get past the time where white, if you're white, you're right. If you're yellow, you're mellow. If you're brown, stick around. But if you're black, get back. That was some, that saying is one that I grew up with, you know, in the 50s and the 60s. And he introduced it into the 2000s, in fact, 2008, at the inauguration of President Barack Obama. I remember that very well. And he was pointing to something that those that study social science are very much aware of, you know, the kind of foundational training and education that a human being be properly stabilized and socialized into the life of society, the life of human society. And we've come to learn a lot in 2024 in terms of how the operation, the human operations, how they're situated. The inner life of the human being, how it works, how the Almighty God designed the human life to work. In this edition of Not Just Talk, we had some very enjoyable conversation with Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, and we made the decision that we would have open mic Thursday, where you can press one share with us your thoughts, reflections, any kind of questions that you might have. If we're able to answer them, we will. If not, we'll look for the answer and God willing, get back with you. But I was sharing with in a conversation off mic a little earlier in the evening how my day went today and how, you know, in the life of the human being, Almighty God is always, according to Scripture, He's always communicating with us. But it's not kind of communication that we're doing tonight on Not Just Talk, where you share something, you make an inquiry, and we see if we can't respond to it with, a suitable response. No, it's not like that. In the Holy Quran, God's guidance, last revelation to humanity, given to us in very clear language, the original language being Quranic Arabic, or the classical Arabic language that was developed among the ancient Arabs. And the power of its communication is in the language of Quranic Arabia to be very, very, very expressive in identifying the human condition. And the guidance is structured in such a way that it informs us of what Almighty God has done in creating the human being, creating us, the human family, and what intent is, and what the future in terms of the direction of the human life, where it's going. You know, there's an aim and a purpose. You know, Almighty God clearly explains to us that what He has done is purposeful. It's full of purpose. And He explains in the guidance the reasoning and the logic in terms of what He has done in creating life, creating that which is not life, and how everything that He has created has a trajectory, a direction. And we have a caller. I recognize this number. Caller, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Muslim Florida. Praise be to Allah. Open mic is a very enjoyable time. You know, like so you get people just don't have to. They just free to be free, and let the things that might be bothering their soul just come on out. You see, and they can address it, and it can be addressed. So praise be to Allah for that. That's a good thing for mutual consultation. Praise be to Allah. There's something I wrote I'd like to share.
All right.
I have a connection with our Creator. Is our biggest and greatest love. God of the earth, everything we don't know and above. He is the greatest friend, the one who protects us from corruption and sin. When we are connected with Him, we have found the greatest wealth in knowledge and in material things, really benefiting from the way we think. People of faith, they know Him. I'm dealing with the Christian now, right now. You can tell by the way they think. You never enter paradise until you have faith. Practicing loving one another gives us faith. Paradise is the abode of peace, isn't it? The lifestyle of the prophet is definitely a benefit. See how these things come together and make perfect sense? The believers are each other's friends. When we are matured in our spirit, we of course benefit. Our spirit is in obedience to what is correct, proper, right, and just, striving to be our best. We all are trying to get there. Trust God, be fair, do your share, to the whole world we care. You know, that have the thing of faith, interfaith in that. You know, so that's why, you know, so praise God. Yeah. So, you know, so alhamdulillah. And Imam Muhammad, he loved unity. He loved to talk of unity. So, you know, so we unite as a human soul, one human soul, serving God, being obedient. Just think about that. Just being obedient to God. And he wants us to thirst for knowledge. So here we go. Now we evolving. We becoming very progressive. He wants us to have the businesses. He wants to have establishment for our community life, for our growth and our development of our family. You know, and then becoming an asset to society. Because once we get into these systems, we great what you call weak mutual consultation, to make weak sure called democracy. Be able to get some things done. Because why? Because we're in it. And Allah will give us an understanding of, because why? We addressing social needs. And we have the answer for it in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And as we know, Imam Muhammad, his extraction from the Quran and the life of the Prophet, alhamdulillah, was the best. You know, so praise be to Allah for that. It's everything is 2 hours for us. We got it. And the us is for the greater humanity. That's how the Prophet did it. You know, you get yourself. You learn the knowledge. You share. And then when you share with somebody else, it's kind of like the end bar that the Prophet went out and he sent them out. You be sending people out. And you share your wisdom from the Quran and from the Prophet. You be sending to somebody. You actually be sending them out to give up for information for somebody else. Yeah. And as that person benefits, don't you know that you get great rewards from that person? This is showing how Allah, how merciful he is, how he wants us to have to have good in this world and in the hereafter. Because why? He bestows a blessing on us in what we might consider the very least little thing we do. That's, you know, beautiful. Praise be to Allah. Well, yes, that's what I wanted to
talk
about. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. I appreciate that. Alaikum assalam, Bilal. Press 1 to go out of the queue, and press 1 if you want to make further comments. We'll bring you back. And we invite others of you. We recognize, we see your numbers so often, you know, through the month, that we recognize who you are by your phone numbers, and we are so very happy when you want to share, when you have the spirit to want to share with us, and we are a little disappointed when I'm looking at your number and I know who you are because you have shared who you are over the air, and you don't press 1. I feel some kind of way about that sometimes, but I'm okay right now. I'm going to bring this number in. I recognize this number, 727. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Okay. My name is Martha Nyla, and I'm calling from, I'm a Floridian.
All right. All right,
I'm in Pompano Beach, but I'm a resident of St. Pete, Clearwater, Florida.
Clearwater.
Yeah, the whole Florida, right? The emphasis, or when you started out speaking about the words that were shared during the inauguration of President Obama, my mind went to it. I immediately thought about the perception that was surrounding the whole voting time and how the country felt, and I believe the country, many people felt like, okay, we can take a deep breath now, and this is making amends for all those atrocities that happened in the country. And I believe that for some of us, I can speak for myself, felt that, okay, we've arrived to a certain level in the country now. And, you know, going through a representation of someone, you know, like you go to a city and usually we African Americans are not there. And we feel like we are there when we see one person working and they're on that particular side of the town, on the beach area or whatever, where we don't frequent as far as residents. But then beyond that, I thought about Florida and how Florida seceded. And when I say seceded, everyone, S-E-C-E-D-E-D, because seceding or session, C-E-S-S-I-O-N, I had to look it up, but it means where you give up your rights to property. And so Florida did not want to give up their rights to what, quote, unquote, they consider property. And likewise with Texas and Tennessee and Virginia and South Carolina and North Carolina, those states, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, they didn't, and Louisiana, they did not want to give up their rights. Though Louisiana, France went through a cession giving up Louisiana in 1803 with the purchase. And different things, you know, the property. But when you take human beings as property because of your misguidance, you're listening to the enemy of mankind and thinking that another man can be over another, own the rights to that person's I'm saying body and mind at the same time, with over their body, and neglecting their intelligence or even thinking that they had it. So that's where my mind went, as how the country, the perception was, overlaying the presidential race in 2008, and then it also had at the backdrop what happened in the country, what brought on the Civil War, what transpired, how we had different cultural languages going on, and it was the culture of slavery. Not the culture of the people, but the impact that slavery had upon the country. Now we are, it is our, all of our responsibility to see it as a place we don't ever want to be again in any form, and even in the secret forms that it's sometimes taking, with being people being imprisoned for just minimal things that don't need to be imprisoned for. So it's a whole process, and I believe those black codes, I don't know them all, exist, and I say they exist in the form of policies. So that's where we are, is uncovering, praise be to Almighty God for us going through that, and we just keep moving forward. I'll stop right there. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay. Alaykum as-salam, and thank you for that. I'll invite you to make further comments. Ask you to press 1 to go out of the queue, and we invite the audience, others in the audience, we see you, to share. I don't know if you can feel, but I'm certainly, my spirit, my human spirit is connecting with the changing in the energy as we move towards the Ramadan month of fasting. And, it's something that I've gotten more sensitive to as the years of Ramadan have occurred and reoccurred, and the sensitivity that my soul has developed in my rational mind as we move closer. We're looking at Ramadan beginning either on the 10th or the 11th of next month. which begins Friday, tomorrow, Juma, the month of March will begin. And again, on the 10th or the 11th of March, we're looking for the worldwide practice of the Ramadan fast for 29 or 30 days, either of those. There are months, pardon me, the years where the Ramadan month is in the lunar cycle. The moon cycle is 29 days from the observation. The Hilal, which follows the dark moon or what's called the new moon in the lunar cycle observance. There's the dark moon where there's no light coming from the moon, and following that, the moon begins to grow in terms of its emitting or putting out or sending out light rays, reflection from it, and that process takes the moon through phases of its growth or development, what's called waxing and waning. And the waxing is the growing of that emission of light, and the waning or weakening occurs as the light begins to diminish. And it's a process that invites us to think, because we started off our conversation with the Creator communicating with us all the time. The one who created us is always communicating with us in terms of what he has brought into being. You know, the animate and the inanimate creation, it speaks to the mind. There's what's called a creation supported social logic. We are designed by our Lord Almighty God to be social creatures. And, you know, we socialize, we organize ourselves in groupings. God talks about nations and tribes in the development of human societies, but the foundational organization is a man and woman joining themselves together in matrimony. You know, we often have heard the language holy, H-O-L-Y, or you might use the word sacred matrimony, that union is a sacred union because we see its formulation all over the world. You know, the human beings unite themselves, you know, and they express the idea, you know, I belong to you and you belong to me, and we recognize that. And we have those in our social life, in the community life, they recognize this coming together of man and woman in sacred matrimony. And it's a wonderful thing when you look at the history. We're living in a time now where these universal ideas or these global ideas, standards, you know, there's a lot of smoke and a lot of not reflection. You say smoke and mirrors. There's a lot of deflection in terms of how the social messages, the meme messages, it's a term that's kind of recent memes, these ideas that in the language environment and you know, give us or affect us in a certain way in terms of how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about life and so on and so forth. We see that being presented to us in the oppressive language environment that we have to deal with day to day. Oppressive in what way? Well, our souls, our human souls are designed by Almighty God to operate in a certain environment and to grow in a certain environment. And when there are those that want to gain unnatural benefit in terms of influence, material gain and the like, and they poison the well, they poison the language environment in such a way where people are encouraged to be more selfish, to be more selfish and more concerned in their individual self, and that feeling of gratification or being self-absorbed, self-satisfied, and not concerned about others, when the Creator has created us to have that concern. I mean, we wouldn't be here if the Creator had not put in us a concern, especially for the weak new life. The new life comes into existence, and without a caring, nurturing environment created by a mama and daddy or some other caregiver, then that life would be hard pressed to stay around, to continue to live, because the baby is so the new life that comes into this world is so dependent on others, you know. And oftentimes we say that there's a message there from the Creator. Okay, look how your new life is dependent upon those. You don't have control. You know, you're without any control of you're feeding yourself, keeping filth off of yourself, uncleanliness. You know, we're biological creature that emits waste, feces and urine. And if that waste is not removed from our bodies, we can become sick. You know, we can become diseased if we're not properly cared for. So what's the message? The message is indebtedness. You know, I haven't heard it in a long time now, but there was a saying, I owe. So it's off to work I go. Well, you know, we owe our early existence as infants to those that care. And we owe, when we say we owe, there's a debt. There's a debt that is suggested in the process of our early development as needy. A needy life. The life of the infant is a life of being in need and not able to supply those needs, you know. And then we grow and we see ourselves in the picture of, for some, seeing themselves in exaggerated terms of being self-sufficient. Well, that's not the logic of life. Because the logic of life calls us to interdependence. You know, we rely on what when I was growing up, we were learning about the social contract. There's a certain kind of socialization or behavior in terms of where the strong and the powerful don't oppress the ones that are less powerful, the ones that are less secure. You know, the human condition is one of a socialization, recognizing that in order for the human species to stay around, because we don't have the claws and the fangs and what have you, that the predators that we see in life, you know, the tigers and the lions and the hyenas and so on, the predators, we don't have their equipment. So God endowed the human life with a mind and intelligence to be able to strategize in a organized way, a socially organized way, to protect ourselves and the new life that we bring into existence. And so, you know, it's wonderful, but the social leadership, I'm not talking about the political leadership, but those that understand the nature of influence and the human being a creature of influence, and they control and direct the influences that affect the social life. And so our attention is taken away from the innate or the internal life of the human being, designed for us to be interdependent and cooperative with one another, just as we see these functions, this logic in Mother Nature. We see the interdependence. You know, we breathe out carbon monoxide, which is very, very, very good for the plant life, and the plant life emits oxygen, and that oxygen is necessary for us to stay around here. So I'm sharing, you know, this, believe it or not, this program and other programs of the AM360 network, this program is emitting a language environment that is designed to make it better for us as human beings to see what the Creator has put in us and what the intent of what He has put in us as human beings, what that intention is, what the utility of that, those gifts from the Creator, what that utility is for. Jesus expressed it, the prophet Jesus, the son of Miriam or Mary, he gave his devotee, those worshipers of Almighty God, with him, he left a prayer that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that prayer for the thoughtful worshipers, the thoughtful members and followers of the Christ, Jesus the Christ, you know, points to an intent, a prayer for help to design the human social life in accordance with what is observed when we look up at the heavenly bodies in the sky above us. We see the order and the peace that order suggests. And the prayer is designed to call our attention to an obligation that we have had put in our souls by the one who created us. And we're going to bring Bilal Abdullah back into the conversation. Welcome back.
Alhamdulillah. There's something that I wrote I'd like to share. Alhamdulillah. Christian Zionism. In America, it should be put in prison. Want the Jews to own the land so they can become a Christian man? Talking about completion of prophecy. The understanding of Jesus' return is nothing but mythology and foolishness. Creation is evolving man. The wild ones developing land, feeding self, family, and humanity. Business owners, sincerity brings prosperity. Poverty needs to be a mystery. We must continue the growth of our intelligentsia, protectors of the people in America. Our community life must have business based and developed in God consciousness. Give wasteful spending a rest. Spending more money with those in our association. Those who war and still suffering from economic persecution. Love, respect, and common sense is our protection. And supporting others, we must take too many precautions. They could be supporting bad behavior, corner grocery stores, denying God's favor. Lottery tickets isn't a real benefit. In the Quran, are you mentally sick? Enough is enough. Spend your money with those who you can trust. If business is a gift, use it to uplift. Make it a Muslim, a believer. Help others solve their problems. All our people, Bill Danky, Sally, Tim the Pimp, South Dakota Slim. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, wow. Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Bilal. Yeah, you said something that got my attention in terms of the kind of behavior that helps us. Oftentimes, social conditioning that Bilalian people or African American people have come under. Oftentimes we see ourselves, well, we're just like anybody else, but that's not what our history shows. Our history shows a certain type of conditioning that is not natural. You know, it's not natural for a person or a group of people to give their attention to supporting those outside of their group and being more attentive to their needs than they are to their own needs. That's not a natural development. We're burdened, you know. So much of our conditioning has us seeing ourselves as a connection with the crucified Christ. So many black people see themselves, if they're in the spirit of God consciousness, so many of our people see themselves in terms of the Christ figure, you know, on the cross. You know, the burden of the thorns, you know, affecting the ability, you know, the ability to think clearly, because we understand the nature of how pain operates. Pain takes our mind away from reasonably and logically of being able to think. You know, we know the nature of pain. You know what happens when you bump your toe and how the whole body, you can bump your little toe, but that little toe being bumped against something hard that brings pain into that little toe, the whole body experiences that pain. You know, the way the way the biggest organ in the body, according to the scientists, is our the network of receptors that cause us to be able to feel things. You know, it connects us with the material world. We you know, the real us is inside a container called the human body. The form of that human body, it holds our life, the inner life. The more valuable life is inside this human vessel, but there's a connection, you know, and there's knowledge to be seen in how we have form and how we have function, you know, how we are able to function inside a human vessel, and we can function within the boundaries of the excellent human potential, or we can function being or coming up short in terms of how we operate. You know, within this humanoid body, you know, we can operate as a savage operates, as a predator operates, or some other expression of the life that God created for our benefit. You know, we can operate like roaches. We can operate like rodents. You know, this the possibilities are extensive in terms of how we can function within this humanoid body, either in excellence or in that which is an embarrassment to the title human, you know. And we see it all the time, you know, how embarrassing it is to see African-American people acting like a bunch of monkeys, you know, just play, you know, twerking and all that kind of stuff, you know, just exaggerated pleasure seeking, not within the intelligent bounds that we have seen historically human beings operate under, you know, under human excellence, human dignity. We've seen the history of those groups expressing that excellence that the Creator put in us. You know, the history shows us, and its history also shows us the barbaric and savage nature of those who have a humanoid body, or a body that whose form, you know, develops from crawling around on fours to being able to stand erect, stand vertically, and to walk on 2 feet, you know. So we have these instructing signs in our history, in our development as human societies. That history is instructive, you know. And if we have fresh eyes or fresh perception, then we can gain the benefit from looking at how history has operated and the times in history, human history, when the human societies have fallen in under the influence of darkness, ignorance, voulement, oppressive influences, you know, oppression that affects our thinking and our behavior. So alhamdulillah, again, we invite you to press 1 and share your thoughts or comments. Right now we're going to take a well overdue public service announcement break, and we invite you to stay tuned, and we'll be back after these messages.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Support the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sugar Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we invite you to press 1. Come into the conversation on this Thursday, Open Mic Thursday, and we invite you to share your thoughts, musings, reflection, as we are moving towards, the month of Ramadan, and I was in a, I guess you could call it a Holocaust circle or a circle of teaching and learning, whereby we were focused on chapter 7 of the Holy Quran in the 90, around the 93rd verse or ayats of that chapter, and we were sharing our thoughts utilizing the fresh eyes of Imam Muhammad, his insights to help us to see clearly. And in conversation, about the Quranic study, we were observing patterns, how the Creator teaches us in a very methodical way, a way of using parables and symbols, telling us stories or narratives that invite us from wherever we enter into that study. You know, it takes us in where we are, but it invites us to think a little more disciplined, to think a little more clearly, to think, to reason. And the way that the text asks us questions, you know, questions are asked to invite us to reason better, to reason more clearly, to observe the patterns that are in the created life. And I think about it often now, how Imam Muhammad would tell us how he spoke from scripture, and that he never speaks unless he speaks from scripture. But when you listen to his conversation, you don't hear chapter and verse. You don't hear Deuteronomy. You don't hear Proverbs. You don't hear Judges. But what you do hear is a logic in the conversation that is developed out of scripture. Process of our reading the Holy Quran and using the methodology that our leaders of the past invited us to, and that the believers of the past demonstrated to us, of seeing ourselves within the classical scripture context. You know, the wife of the prophet, Lady Aisha, when she was being slandered, by members of the social life that she was a part of. There were Muslims, or those who identified themselves as Muslims, who were speaking ill of her, and many of you are familiar with the particulars of that situation. But the way she saw her plight of being slandered and being backbitten, and, you know, her morality being questioned, she saw herself and identified herself in terms of the trials of Yusuf in the Bible. Joseph in the Bible and Joseph in the Holy Quran was in a situation prior to Aisha's situation where he was being slandered. He was being lied on, you know, and so she was able to relate and see that she was going through a test just like Joseph the prophet was going through. And that's a sensitivity that our leaders of the past directed us towards, seeing ourselves within the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and they identified us with the Hebrew boys and girls, you know, the men being killed or the males being killed and the women being saved, and the insights that was speaking to in terms of our condition. And we're going to bring Bilal back in. Bilal, seems like you're the only one that want to share what the Creator has put on your heart, right? So go ahead.
You know, we have all the direction that he, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, everybody. We have all the direction that Imam Muhammad left with Imam Ronald B. Shaheed and the books that he are publishing. And so with all this at my disposal, it's hard not to be able to say something. And then not only that, the leadership class, the young people in the leadership class, y'all know them. Brother Razir, Sister Anisa Devon, yes. Brother Rashad, yes. Abdul Rahman, Tariq Alameen, and more people, praise be to Allah. Yes. With all that going yes. on, you know, you just can't help but be, you know, you're full. So this is something that wrote I like to share. Words okay. make people. The Quran make us more responsible, helping others, sharing what we know, waking up the believers within. Living and reading Revelation makes sense. Learning about self and generational wealth, higher education, business ownership, a serious part of our worship, soul is citizenship. Good deeds bring ease, charity for those in need, the call to prayer, a reminder also about our share, creation giving up its treasures, Allah's bounty without measure, a bad life situation for a better future, urging us to strive to totally please our Creator, benefiting from not denying His favor, becoming your own Savior, creation giving us direction, our association is a protection, we must strategize and take precaution. Adam was first seen as a builder of industry. We cannot be satisfied living in poverty. We can't even qualify for zakat. Wasting money must stop. God's consciousness is excellent for business. Investing our soul every day, this will increase our wealth and our trade. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, and thank you. Yes, God this like is, we're in the beginning. Let me approach it this way. Ramadan fasting, the month of Ramadan fasting, it creates an environment whereby Almighty God instructs us how we are to participate in the Ramadan fasting. And it's an invitation for even those who are not identifying themselves as Muslim followers of Prophet Muhammad. This way of life called Al-Islam, the way of life of Al-Islam, identified as the religion, which is really more, it's more of a life exercise or a life behavior than it is identified as formal religion. It's where we, how we give our devotional attention and how that devotional attention enables us to refine our behavior. Because the month of fasting is a month where we give ourselves more to the Holy Quran and its messages than we give ourselves to the television programming, you know. A lot of times we'll have the television on, keep us company. But at the same time, it may be keeping us company, but it's also trying to or designed to plant impulses and thoughts into our subconscious. You know, we as human beings, you know, there's, you know, we talked about the psychology now that we have a better understanding of ourselves. But even with that, there's also an aspect of our creation that is a mystery. You know, it mystifies us. And I've heard it said about how the nature that God has created the woman in, the female, the female human being, is so mysterious that oftentimes she doesn't even understand herself and what her makeup under the Creator is all about. You know, she has so much wealth, she's so valuable in terms of her connection with life and living, that I'm trying to think of the proper term, but the woman is identified not only in terms of her individual identity, but, you know, her being identified as a societal identity, you know, cities are identified as females. You know, up until recently, the storms of nature, the hurricanes, have been identified with female names. So there's a great deal of value in the woman being connected with the life process itself. I remember Imam Muhammad sharing with us that, you know, that the woman, because of what she has to go through in the birthing experience, being so close to losing her mortal life in bringing new life into the world, that every mother ought to go to heaven. And those who've had children during the hot summer months, they ought to go to heaven right away, straightway to heaven. So all praise is due to Allah, you know. And that kind of also shows us the kind of sensitivity that Imam Muhammad has or expressed and exemplified in the leadership that he brought to us. So all praise is due to Allah. We invite you to press one and to tell us what you're thinking about in terms of, well, why are you listening tonight? Let me ask that question. What made you tune in? And if your intention is just to listen, we don't want to interrupt that, but if you could just take a moment or two to share with us what made you tune in to Not Just Talk on Thursday night from 8 o'clock to 9:30. And we're slowly coming to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to invite Martha Nala Abdullah back again into the conversation. Welcome back.
Thank you, and greetings of peace to everyone, to you, Michael, and to everyone else listening. And what drew me to the conversation, because we now speaking specifically, and this being the end of the month, as you recognized it, legislated as the African American History Month. And because we have a lot to share, we have yet untapped valuable assets in people, and it being Muslim African American now puts a responsibility on us, and we should take it graciously and just own the idea that we are 50 states strong, and don't minimize that in our thinking about the future days, starting right this moment, beginning to understand that we are responsible to understand the Constitution of our states. Become engaged whatever way we can, whether it's writing or just talking and getting to know what it means to be conservative or be under a different branch of, you know, the independence or what have you. Don't just vote just to be voting. And so, alhamdulillah, I'll stop right there. That's what drew me in to how active participation is necessary.
Okay. But what if I don't want to be independent or a Democrat or Republican? And this is from a person asking the question. In Alabama, Birmingham, I was a card-carrying Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass Republican under the leadership of a gentleman that I'm still friends with and colleague of, Richard Finley of Birmingham, Alabama. What if I don't want to identify any of these, you know? What do you have for me?
There's a process to establish a recognizable voting bank, understanding that the country in its organization process and voting get representation for everyone, and the best mm-hmm. evolved gets voted in. Should there be another? And two, we're voting our conscience. We're conscientiously, but again, that needs to be taken with the inspect inspecting what we do and how we feel. So if a person would say that they are not wanting to be under any of those banners, then I guess the only left thing is to write in, go vote anyway, write in whatever it is. And get it recognized. I guess the more that they see it on the ballot, people are writing in this. What is this? One, whatever you want to call it, but have some sense about it, about what its mission, what is its destiny, what is it determining, what are we determining it to be, in the end result.
Yeah. Now the reason I didn't mean to put you on the spot, and I appreciate your answer, but. We've been made to see how America, the United States of America, supports leadership in groups of people. And we give the example of the Mormons, although they are involved in, many of them are involved in the political process, but the Amish people, they have their own established governmental procedures. They have their own internal leadership for establishing the life that they desire under God. You got the Asians. Similarly, you don't see Asians out protesting. By and large, the Asian community has a leadership structure where they quietly go about establishing themselves and getting the benefits that groups of Americans are entitled to because of their organizational or internal governmental structure. So I'm just having a conversation, and like I said, my question wasn't to put you on the spot, but to also to contrast the involvement. You know, we see these protest movements going on, particularly since we've observed this genocide in the Middle East, the Palestinians are being oppressed and killed in large numbers, to the point where people are utilizing this word that you don't hear often, that there's a genocide going on, a deliberate focus on killing a particular group of people. So I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and it is important that we, you know, that we identify the need for the governmental focus, and if we're going to register ourselves as Democrats or Republicans or Independents, we have to practice as Muslims a stronger principle than the principle of little d democracy. Because Shura Bainahum is much more viable for the life of human beings and their need for governing, you know, of governing of the group and the governing of the self. Shura Bainahum is a much more powerful concept than American democracy, because we see problematic issues with it in these governmental leaders, whether they be Democrat, Republican, or Independent. We see the problems there with democracy. And the solution for those that identify as Muslim is Shura Bainahum. So thank you, Executive Director of the Community-Wide Shura Conference, Sister Martha Naila Abdullah. We appreciate you.
You're likewise.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Bilal, we see you, but we're going to bring Brother Kareem, Imam Kareem, in to the conversation. Welcome.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Michael Hameen. Everyone that's on the phone. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome.
Yes, sir, I'm appreciative of, you know, of this broadcast, not just talk. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
You really gave birth to an excellent production.
Thank you.
Early in your exchange with us, you mentioned Dr. Lowry.
Yes.
That followed the next leader of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And
that's right.
Right. We wonder what happened. Where did the energy go? What happened?
Yes, sir. Yes.
That comes from personality leadership,
mm-hmm.
personality worship.
Mm-hmm.
When the leader is no longer there, then the movement seems rudderless. But there has to be a set of principles that's guiding the movement, a set of principles that, regardless to who is at the head, an agreed upon structure of institutional and basically thinking. Let me get right to it. Thinking.
All right.
The civil rights movement was addressing, seemed like, material placement. What do I mean by
How
that?
How do you mean?
Well, you have,
yeah.
Right. Well, you have a right to go and sit in any restaurant and be served.
Okay.
That's a physical placement. You have a right to sit on any seat in the bus. You have a right to enter any institution of learning. You have a right to vote. So all of these things are material movement, material
mm-hmm.
placement from one environment to another. But I never heard it addressed that I believe our leaders at that time should have told us that you are psychologically damaged.
How do you mean?
Just that. That the experience that you have gone through concerning slavery, Jim Crowism, and all that accompanies that have given you a false way of thinking.
I see. Okay.
And you are operating with that damaged computer. You are operating with that damaged computer. The computer is the heart and the brain. So even now, 2024, there has to be a concerted effort, and we should not be afraid to talk to each other. There's something wrong with us psychologically. Oh, man, what are you talking about? I ain't crazy, blah, 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 blah. You know how emotional we can get. But I believe that it has to be expressed that something is wrong with your thinking. You have been given a false platform for your thoughts and your behavior.
But what do you mean?
And you mentioned
Korean?
Earlier.
I
you
think
mentioned
for myself.
Earlier. Yeah, right. Yeah. you mentioned earlier. Oh, boy, I lost my thought. Oh, boy. Yes. You know how we were able to connect ourselves to the suffering of how they portray Jesus, the Christ.
Yes, sir.
We were able to think of ourselves as the three Hebrew boys in the burning fire.
That's
we
true.
Connected ourselves to the Hebrews that were in Egypt and oppressed.
Yes, sir.
And that took on a way of thinking, a way of behavior, victimization, praise be to Allah, victimization. And we still see ourselves in that light of victimization. So there has to be a correction in that type of thinking. Whenever you remove something, there has to be something better to replace it. I can remember people saying, oh, man, that's slave thinking. You're thinking like a slave.
Mm.
But never has there been an adequate replacement. Once you remove that, what is the better way? So that we don't continue to see ourselves in the light of victimhood.
Okay.
That we began to see ourselves as qualified, dignified, able to invest, able to handle responsibility at any level. So there has to be something has to replace the old mind that, well, it's not old, it's still current. It's still alive.
Yes, sir.
The value system, the processes of thinking that we utilize to maneuver this material reality that we're in. Our thinking has been damaged. We have been given a psychology that does not benefit us.
I certainly agree with that.
That's my statement on the civil rights. They call it civil rights, but you know, we know it to be human rights.
That's right.
But there has to be a replacement. Once you get rid of one way of thinking, there has to be another replacement that is better. But we are still in the mode and the thinking of woe is me. I'm the underdog. I don't fit in. That victimization thinking. The civil rights movement, it shined light on us being a victim. And we thought that if we could rearrange the chairs on the deck of the ship that's carrying us, that would be able to bring us to port. But it's the same chairs. No matter how you arrange them, it's the same decrepit chairs. So I think we need to admit as a people, and our leaders need to say this to us, that your way of thinking is deficient.
Mm-hmm.
It has been done to you.
Thank you.
But with that statement, there has to be something to replace that way of thinking. I'll start right there, my brother. Thank you, Michael, as always. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Aleikum Assalam. Thank you so much for that. And I agree with you. And the real practice of the way of life, the devotional life as well as the application of the devotional life in terms of material establishment, there's nothing more valuable, in my opinion, than the life of Al-Islam with those two two mercies to human society, the Holy Quran, which is a message for all people, and the life example of how to apply the Holy Quran in terms of growing our individual as well as collective life, we see that being modeled in Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And as more and more oppression is produced in the world, not only in Palestine, occupied Palestine by the Zionist Jews, but the oppressive, callous behavior that we see in other places in the world, in India, and the social life of the country outside of India. I can't, my mind is racing for time's sake to get everybody in. My mind is racing, but what's going on in the oppressive environments of the Congo, the Sudan, people being oppressed by callous individuals or callous organized groups that want to harm the innocent, want to subdue the innocent. 708, welcome to Not Just Talk. State your name and where you're calling from. Welcome.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Manira Habil. Yes, Sister Manira Habil Uma here. Yes. And I was listening in with DeLacy, and I wanted to call in because it's the social construction, in my opinion, that's present in society, where somebody has to be better than someone else, set themselves apart as the chosen people or the people that are on a higher level than other people. So with that plan, we know Al-Islam is the answer. Al-Islam is the answer to reverse the social construction that is taking place in society, because the best of humanity is the most righteous of humanity, those that practice the best conduct, you know, that would alleviate that system that is present and being forced upon people in many different countries to be better than someone else, the ruling class, the 1%. You know, everybody wants to set themselves apart from humanity in a special class. And Al-Islam does not have that, that the best of us is the most righteous of us and those who strive for righteousness, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. And then the tenets of the religion will take care of the other elements of social construction, especially in our case as African Americans, you know, where we were turned against each other based on color, based on male, female, all of those things. Well, the tenets of our being corrects that and gives us the formats and the rules for proper conduct, proper mannerisms, how we should view each other, how we should love one another, how we should support each other, how we should have unity among each other. So the construction, the spiritual construction that comes from the Holy Quran is the remedy. And the removal of false elevation of one people over another is the other. And Islam, Al-Islam provides both. So I just wanted, in my opinion, I just wanted to make those comments.
Well, I agree with you, and I appreciate you sharing with us. And I'll add to what you're saying in terms of the life of the Muslim worldwide community. Oftentimes is looked at and criticized in terms of what people are seeing. And oftentimes it's criticized by people who identify themselves as Jews or Christians, but particularly Christians who have a blind eye to how their worshipers are being seen in terms
mm-hmm.
of their living or not living the life that they profess. So we tell the worshipers of the Creator that the judgment should be done by what the religion represents in terms of those two standards, the Quran, the scripture, and the one who identifies how to live the scripture, that's the standard, not the behavior that we're seeing being necessarily exemplified. Because oftentimes, as a Muslim, I'm looking for the worst behavior in Christians to criticize, not me particularly, but you know, I've seen this, you know, the shallow thinking Muslim is pointing at the bad behavior. Well, look, you all brought chattel slavery into the world. There was no such thing as the kind of treatment of individuals in slavery until you brought chattel slavery to America and to the world. But okay. And then they point out certain things that the, what do you call them, the propagandists look for, misrepresentations of the religion and the misliving of the religion by the Muslims, you know. So it goes back and forth like that.
Yeah, so we see that process even in religion. One religion has to put themselves up higher than the other, or these are the saints and these are the sinners, and make those distinctions. And Allah clears that up and says the believers will
win. That's right.
The believers.
And not only that, but not only that, but what got my attention was the description of a heaven where there was Christians and Jews and other folks in it,
and other folks that was not even Jewish or Christian or Muslim. Yes,
exactly.
So,
yeah.
Allah says the believers will win through. So every on so many levels, everyone is want to put themselves up over someone else. Jehovah's Witness even have a special number of people that will be in paradise. And I would think and ask them, well, if it's only a specific number, why are you out here recruiting? You might lose your spot, you know? So I didn't understand
question.
Their logic. Yeah, I didn't understand their logic.
I never thought about it.
Yeah.
I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, so in the end, I pray that I am one of the believers. You know, to be a believer, there's you have to get rid of everything that we've talked about, being better than someone else. You have to have humility, you know. So Al-Islam is the remedy for the ills in society. And that's what Prophet Muhammad is, the prophet to all of humanity. So alhamdulillah, and you're so welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. We're getting a little feedback because you and your husband are tuned in at the same time. I'm going to bring him in now. Welcome, Imam Lacey.
Assalamu alaikum, man. We were in separate rooms, so, and I guess we still had that feedback.
Yeah.
Peace and blessings.
Alaikum
peace
assalam.
And blessings. Peace and blessings to everyone. I was in about the conversation. And the provocative question, and you asked, and also Bam Kareem, he came into that conversation swinging heavy. He's swinging heavy.
Yeah, he knows how to get our
damage.
He knows how to get our attention.
And I was thinking about. I'm giving serious thought to a topic I've been invited to present at the Ramadan session. And I've circled back to topics we've been discussing about the sacred unity. You know, they asked me to give a topic I'd like to discuss, and I gave the topic developing a sacred unity, developing a sacred unity. And I was reflecting on our imam, Allah forgive him, give him paradise, high place in paradise, and in his thought-provoking description of how the trauma, and Imam Kareem alluded to that as well. But the Imam pointed out that our experiences, how they have left devastating circumstances that we are struggling to overcome.
Yes.
And the Imam invited us to develop a philosophy for life. He said we're going to need to dwell on, and he said dwell on it, like we have to drill down on it, a philosophy for life and a sacred unity. You know, and I thought that was such a profound statement. It's impacted my thinking from the time I heard it, read it actually, and then, we've did some programming surrounding that particular. And that's what I think. That's what we got to really look at, what our life needs. What do we need as a people that's uniquely our own, that uniquely addressed our own unique circumstances, that, you know, as some of the things Imam Kareem alluded to, and you've talked about it, we've talked about it many, many times, but strategically, I think we're going to have to dwell on it and then develop techniques and methodologies. I meant to ask you about, you know, our dear sister Farida called in with this idea of us developing economics and unselfish economics. I'm going to give it a better description, that we actually think about people who are worthy of help and need help, and develop ways to do that. So I hope she will continue give thought to that, how that can happen. She mentioned such things. She mentioned Cash App and et cetera, et cetera. But it needs to be a little more structured. And I pray Allah bless her to continue to give it birth, give that idea that she's birthed more energy. But that's a philosophy for life that we can look at.
Yeah.
A strategy to be more helpful. To be more helpful and more sharing, more selfless. And to help bring us out of this situation we have. So go ahead, Mike.
Yes.
I just wanted to share that.
I appreciate that. It's not rocket science, ma'am.
Yeah, it's not.
Because, you know, one thing about it, you know, if we, you know, Allah has many ways to get our attention. And we look across the scene in terms of other groups, ethnic groups, and how they're operating and functioning, and to what degree they're successfully established. And we look at the Asian, who are quietly going along, exercising their right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness under American citizenship. And we see Chinatown. You know, we see you know, the language of these Asian people that we don't understand unless we studied their language, you know, demonstrated, being demonstrated on automobile dealerships all kinds of businesses, and we can't even read the language on these businesses, you know.
Yes, yes.
But it's showing
yes.
that they have something as a foundational, what you're calling this idea of a philosophy. There's a philosophy underneath what we're observing in terms of how these Asians are operating.
That's right.
And
that's
most
right.
Most notably, because they're more open, we see the Latino people or Hispanic people, and we understand that they have an idea, a philosophy of mi familia, my family. And it's so when we observe how they implement that, you know, I was listening to the internet and they were talking about how, in contrast to how we as black people operate, you see the Latino people, you'll find maybe 20 of them in a house living together.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, 10 of them leave and go into another house. And then at another certain point, that 10 is divided into 5 and you've got 2 more houses, you know, with
yeah.
the Latinos establishing themselves. And the kicker for me is the fact that the most interested in the way of life of Al-Islam, the Latino people, the Hispanics, so to speak, they are the largest population of those that are converting to Al-Islam.
That's
and
right.
I don't think we should sleep on that. They
yes.
already have a philosophy. They already have a way of seeing themselves in the world and establishment. And here, this group of people that have a philosophy for life called my family are seeing value in Al-Islam, and they're becoming Muslims in great numbers here in America.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
I don't think we should sleep on that. You know?
Yes.
I think that's a sign
you know,
of God.
And Imam Muhammad gave us those 4 essentials. He gave us those 4 essentials to focus us, you know, to focus us on what's needed, direction for our thoughts to go in and our vision and et cetera, those education, business, culture, that social life, and that's what you're saying. My family fits into that social culture life.
Exactly. That's the foundation.
And governance. And I like governance. I'm not a government man. I like the idea
yes.
that you first begin governing your own life, your family, your community,
okay.
et cetera. How do you govern
Listen.
Yourself?
Listen, we're going to talk more about this on Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on
yes,
Saturday.
Well,
the clock is pushing me, and we got another
yes.
caller that hasn't shared with
that.
Us, and then we got the loud back. So we appreciate you.
Thank you for the program, Michael. Wonderful program. Shukra.
Assalamualaikum. God bless you. 914, welcome to Not Just Talk. State your name and where you're calling from. Come on in.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif, called from Mount Vernon, New York.
Welcome.
Yes. Well, I know you said that we're Walaikum
Assalam.
I know you said that we're pressed for time, and you're going to continue this, so I'll be patient.
Go ahead and share. We got five minutes. I just don't want us to get abruptly cut off, but I know we got at least 5 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what I want to say is that all the things we know what's happening with other people, other communities and all, I know the Imam has said some years ago, said why did Allah allow the people to come out of the dark ages, out of ice, all they knew was ice. And let them come down and come into Africa and take over our people. So is that same thing happening again? That what that have we disobeyed God? They said that's why the people got in Africa got taken over by other people, people coming out of Ice Age, because we had disobeyed God.
Yes.
So is that happening to us? Is that happening to us again?
I believe
that we are disobeying God, and that's why we're getting this situation?
I believe so, Muhammad.
Wow.
But, you know, just like, you know, the Imam talked about the flood and the people being drowned in the flood during the time of Noah. But drowning doesn't necessarily mean that you die. You just took in a lot of water. So some of us may survive this punishment that seems obvious to many of us, that our group, African Americans, Negroes, that we're being punished, because we see people with the same kind of skin complexion as us, but they speak another language, and, you know, we see them establishing themselves, and we reluctantly disrespect the idea of leadership and reluctantly disrespect the idea of fellowship. You know, you got to have leadership in the family life, and that should be transferred and expanded when you go outside of your house. That's how other people have gotten on top. We're seeing it every day. They're following, they're not only following individuals, but they're following certain principles of life, like the importance of family. And we're ignoring that, and we're shaking the booty and all this kind of stuff. We need to be punished, you know. A good attitude adjustment for the group may be very beneficial, and the Creator has done it before. And he tells us in the Holy Quran that he'll take one people out and bring in another people to have his plan executed. Because this world is going somewhere, and the people of the world are going somewhere. And those that reject it, they have to suffer the consequences. It's really just that simple as I'm looking at it, because the Holy Quran makes things very plain. And then it points to the previous scripture to identify where the plainness is and where the clarity is in the previous scripture, and makes the corrections on those things that have been misinterpreted or given in a false light, you know, with the hands of man writing or rewriting the scriptures for their own benefit and value. You know, we see the fullness of the Gentiles being expressed with a lot of Caucasians going crazy over the lies of color consciousness, of so-called white supremacy. We see them going crazy. We see psychotic outbreaks all over the place, gun violence all over the place, because of the craziness in this. In my opinion, the fullness of the Gentiles means the lie has been exposed, and those that insist on holding on to the lie, you're going to go out of your mind, because your mind ain't right. So thank you for sharing, Bilal. I mean, pardon me, Muhammad. Thank you.
Yeah.
Allah bless you.
You're welcome.
And we, We thank everyone for joining us. We invite you to tune in next week for more of Not Just Talk. And the purpose of Not Just Talk is for us to have conversations that will move us, not necessarily in a big way, but to touch our consciousness, to see an obligation in our soul to respond to God's word in a way that we will establish ourselves in such a way in the world that will be pleasing to him. So we're going to close out with a supplication, a dua. O Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you grant us, and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you. and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. We ask your help, O Allah, to remove from our cities the spirit of gun violence, of violence, and the use of the guns to destroy lives, to take lives, and destroy the fabric of the social life and the family life. So we ask you, we beg you for the help that we need to go straight. We believe in you and we trust in you. We hope for your mercy and we fear your your punishment. Ameen. Thank you, everyone. Join us again next week. Assalamu alaikum.